Call this meeting of the House Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:07 p.m. on Friday, March 11, 2022. Before we begin, I want to thank Shannon McCain from the House Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Talia Ames from the Juneau LIO, who makes sure we have sound. This time, I want to remind committee members and all those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Representative Eastman, Representative Christ Tompkins, Representative Drummond, my vice chair, Representative Snyder, and myself, Representative Clayman. We have a quorum to conduct business. Our first order of business today is Senate Bill 11, Community Property Trust, sponsored by Senator Begich. This is the hearing of the bill in the House Judiciary Committee. Our office did not receive any amendments to Senate Bill 11. That brings Senate Bill 11 back before the committee and to final comments. I'm going to give members one opportunity to make final comments, which will limit to 3 minutes. And first, we'll start with Representative Eastman.
Are we allowed to ask any questions?
Didn't plan to have questions, but I guess if you have some questions for the bill sponsor, please proceed.
Yeah, thank you, and appreciate that. So kind of back to the whole background for the bill. So one of the primary tax motivations for community property in the first place, as I understand it, in a marital estate, is to take advantage of the step up in basis that occurs on the first member of the marriage to die. Can you kind of bring us up to speed on the recent attempts to eliminate this provision sort of at the federal level, or are you following that? Any progress or changes there?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, District J, for the record, Representative Eastman, I'm not aware of federal level. The court case that prompted this was about the ambiguity of the word or the meaning of appreciation. That's what it focused on. There are two folks online who are in the field who might be able to address that more specifically, but that has been my understanding throughout this process. It's simply because the language was ambiguous in terms of appreciation as a value.
Thank you.
Any further questions, Representative Eastman?
Yeah, real briefly. So community property trusts, are those the same thing as grantor trusts, or are those a separate category? Do we know? And I don't know who the best person to say. Throw it to the sponsor first.
Through the chair, Senator Begich, for the record, Representative Eastman, I would actually ask my experts online, probably either Abigail or
Ms. O'Connor.
Linda.
Well, I will start with Ms. O'Connor, the lawyer in the bunch. Ms. O'Connor, did you hear Representative Eastman's question?
Through the chair, yes, I did. This is Abigail O'Connor. I'm not calling you from Homer, Alaska, but I'm an estate planning attorney in Anchorage. Excellent question. So a community property trust is a grantor trust, but a grantor trust is not necessarily a community property trust. The short-winded answer is a grantor trust is a trust for which the grantor is treated as the owner for income tax purposes. There are all types of grantor trusts. There can be irrevocable grantor trusts. All revocable trusts are grantor trusts. A community property trust, by nature, during the grantor's lifetimes, are revocable trusts or living trusts. And so they are grantor trusts because the income is taxed back to the grantors. I hope that answers the question.
It does.
If not,
follow up.
Okay.
Representative Eastman.
Thank you. So, and because these community property trusts are grantor trusts, does that trigger a requirement for annual IRS filings?
Any income to the grantor trust during the grantor's lifetime would be reported on the grantor's 1040, so there would not be a separate income tax return reporting requirement. After the death of the first grantor, then it would depend on what happens next. If part of the trust becomes irrevocable, which sometimes happens, then a new irrevocable trust is siphoned off, and that trust likely would have to file an income tax return. But while both grantors are alive, there's no separate income tax return required.
Thank you. A final follow-up?
Representative Eastman.
Thank you. And so since we are talking about both categories, I guess, of community property trusts and grantor trusts, wouldn't the trust instruments that initially form the trust, wouldn't it, at least in an ideal sense, wouldn't they have spelled out that appreciation and income were both community property so that there's no ambiguity about whether it's one or both?
In a perfect world, yes. What I think happened, and I can't say for sure because this is the history of the issue predates me being a lawyer, let alone being an Alaska lawyer. But I think what happened is that the practitioners generally assumed that the statute meant that it was, and so there were. My understanding is that there were some trusts that did not include that language, not as a contradiction to the concept, but just thinking that that income and appreciation was. Frankly, if income and appreciation is not going to be community property, then there's really not a whole lot of point to having community property in Alaska. That's the whole point, is that the asset and its appreciation our community property.
Thank you very much. That's all I have.
Senator Begich, did you want to follow up on this?
I did. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Begich, District J, for the record. And that is precisely why the bill is before you, because the intent was, as was in our first hearing, as I mentioned, the intent of the original sponsor was that any appreciation, and that's a quote, would be part of the trust. So for the court to not interpret that because of ambiguity means we need to make this less ambiguous. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Christ-Tompkins, do you have a question? Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the sponsor or invited testifiers, is it possible to refresh us on the significance of the retroactivity of Section 1?
Yes. Through the chair, Senator Begich, for the record, Representative Christ-Tompkins, to remind the committee as to what I testified before and what the experts testified, or the invited witnesses testified before, there are thousands, literally hundreds, if not thousands, was the quote, of these trust agreements that have been entered into under the assumption that appreciation was a value. And then when this court case occurred, that assumption for all these trusts going back to the date that we established the Community Trust Act here in Alaska became questionable at that point. So that's why we also have the savings clause in the bill to ensure that it didn't impact any legal case that might be before the courts now or that might be filed before the effective date of this bill, so that they would be held harmless should there be a clear understanding that they didn't want appreciation counted. So this is really to correct for an assumption that the lawyer just spoke to, Ms. O'Connor, just spoke to, when it comes to the belief that there was appreciation as a value. Otherwise, as she so aptly put it, what would be the point of having a community trust law if you didn't accrue value over time with the property that was in the original trust agreement?
Representative Christon?
And the May 23, 1998 date, is that the date when the initial legislation was passed?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, for the record, to Representative Christ-Tompkins, exactly. It goes retroactive to the date that this became law. That's why that date is specified, because that's the date that the act became law.
Thank you.
Seeing no further questions, we're back for final comments, and Representative Eastman, you're up first.
No further comments. I think I understand where the bill's going. I'm just previously put on the record that I think if the legislature established the intent and that was clear, then that always helps the process. So it's kind of rare where we have the court coming in basically saying, yeah, you might have intended this, but the law said differently. So hopefully we can avoid that happening again in the future.
Thank you, Representative Christ-Tompkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this is good. I just want to put on the record, I'm extremely cautious about trust-related legislation, and there's a history in the legislature of race to the bottom in terms of Alaska's trust law. There's a very revealing ADN article that talked about Mr. Blotmacher talking about how he couldn't get this stuff passed in New York, so he came to Alaska, where nobody would understand it. And I remember when another legislator in this body put forward a piece of legislation, which, to be honest, I don't think a single member of the House knew what they're voting on. When that passed, it fortunately didn't pass the legislature. And I just want to put an extreme word of caution that I don't want Alaska to be a place where this cottage industry of basically making the rich richer sort of goes to for creating a favorable set of statutes. I, however, think this bill is innocuous. It does clarify original intent on trust law, but I just think it's helpful to put that on the record and also the people who are listening to know that eyes are open in the building. And I think this is probably good legislation, but I'm very wary about the subject matter.
Representative Pirker, we're on final comments on Senate Bill 11. It's your turn.
No comment. Though I was listening on the way here.
Okay. Representative Snyder. Okay, Representative Drummond.
I'm fine, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
I, too, have no comments. Representative Snyder, may I have a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I move version 32-LS0132-G of Senate Bill 11 with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Hearing no objection, Senate Bill 11 moves from committee. Please stay behind to sign the paperwork. We will adjourn for the day. Our next meeting is Monday, March 14 at 1 p.m. and we will stand adjourned. The time is now 1:18 p.m.
Thank you.